Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live from FM News 101 KXL in Portland, Oregon. And we come to you live every night at 9 p.m. We go to 9 to midnight every night. We are the number one show in the nighttime here in Portland, Oregon, and we're very happy that you're out there listening to this program. By the way, if you want to listen online, you can do so by going to KXL.com. Or you can listen by going to groundzeromedia.org, groundzeromedia.org. There you can go into the chat room tonight as well. And I must say that this show tonight, I don't know how to begin. I don't know what to say. I mean, while preparing this program, I have to be honest with you. I've been frightened, and I've cried. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that you feel when you do a show like this, and I'm beginning to, the more I read, you know, my guest tonight is Reverend Ted Pike. And, he and I may not agree on everything, but one thing I can agree on with him is that what he does and what he's doing, he believes and he has faith in. And to lose your wife, which he has, is a very sad thing, but it's also something that we can learn from. And there's something, you know, that we have to talk about here, and that is whether or not the power of evil is real, whether or not the power of evil persecutes and damages people, whether or not it goes in and breaks up families and it destroys our way of life. And so I'm going to bring on the program now Reverend Ted Pike. Hi, Reverend. You're on Ground Zero.
Thanks for having me, Clyde.
I must tell you, I have never in my life read a story where I have been angry, and I've been frightened, and I've been crying all at the same time. It's one of those stories that, especially what you've been through, I don't know how you went through it, and we're going to talk about that coming up. I've seen your artwork. You're an amazing sculptor, sir. I'm very moved by your work. I'm a lot of the stuff that you do with the art and everything else, and your beautiful wife, Lynn, and everything that you've been doing together, and I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Now, we must go and introduce you to the audience, first of all. Reverend Pike, you are the director of the National Prayer Network, and that is a watchdog organization. And what you've done is you've been outreaching to people to try and change federal hate crimes legislation. Am I correct?
Yes, primarily federal hate crimes legislation. We also have been very active in opposing the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is the architect of hate crimes laws. And ADL not only has promoted hate crimes legislation, which takes away freedom of speech in Canada, Australia, and even in U.S. states and Europe, but ADL is also militantly anti-Christian, tearing down our Christian crosses and manger scenes and pontificating to us about hate and bias crimes and all this kind of thing. Very pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. It's an organization which I, as a Christian minister, have felt very obligated to speak out against. But it's a dangerous role to speak out against the ADL, because ADL specializes in calling anybody who criticizes them anti-Semitic. And so as a result of that, evangelical leadership organizations are completely silent, even to the existence of ADL.
Now, you have been doing this. How long have you been at this, trying to change the hate crime legislations?
Well, the hate crimes laws started surfacing around 1990 with the passage of the Hate Crime Statistic Act, the ADL's legislation in Congress. But around the year 2000, my wife and I produced a video entitled Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians. And we went up to Canada. We filmed this 80-minute video. In fact, people can watch it at our website, truthtellers.org.
Very good. And you've also appeared on several well-known talk shows, including Alex Jones and several others. You've been talking about this. You've been a major contributor to when they want to go to anyone who's an expert on this, they go to you. You've appeared on several well-known talk shows. You've reached a number of people with those talk shows. But what's important now is a turn of events in your life that's changed a lot of things and has brought you into another arena, which is, of course, the paranormal, if you want to call it that, or at least the investigation into a paranormal happening that happened in your life or that has been responsible for the death of your beautiful wife. Now, can you tell us a little bit about Lynn and what happened and what's going on now with you and her and how she passed away?
Well, basically, I have been in a spiritual battle against forces of great evil for very much of my life. I'll just give you a kind of a quick overview. Back in 1960, my father was a Christian conservative leader here in the Portland area, back when there was no conservative movement. He was a pioneer in trying to bring some kind of balance to the predominant liberalism of the country. And in 1960, he had a radio program at KGON, long before KGON became a rock station out at Gladstone. And one day, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, dropped in, and they told the management of KGON that unless Reverend Pike stopped speaking against communism, they were going to take measures against us and throw us off the air or ruin KGON. And my parents were astonished by this, that a Jewish organization should be so defensive of communism and forbidding the warning against communism in the tradition of great people like Senator Joseph McCarthy. And so that got us thinking, and we started getting literature in the mail from concerned people. And I remember very clearly a leaflet that had an extensive quote by Sir Winston Churchill from the Illustrated Sunday Herald in London in 1918, describing how that communism was a Jewish invention financed from Kunin Loeb, which is now Chase Manhattan. Jacob Schiff in 1918 financed the Bolshevik Revolution, and that virtually all of the pioneers of communism, Bolshevism in Russia, overthrowing the Romanov dynasty, were Jewish. We got to thinking. We had never known or realized that God's chosen people had been so involved in this. And so what I did was I was pretty active and imaginative as a political activist in high school, and I started doing my own research fairly early, and during college I located a complete volume of the Babylonian Talmud, which is the highest religious and ethical authority for modern Judaism. I began to study that. I began to study the World Revolutionary Movement. And before long, I, along with great studies in Bible and Bible prophecy, I had the makings of a book which I called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. And then in 1971, after I got out of college, I went up to a cabin high in the mountains up by the Dalles to start writing this book. But the very night I was up there, I experienced most incredible demonic attacks upon my sleep, frightening nightmares and racing dreaming and chaotic dreaming all night long, waking up about a dozen times. I had never experienced such mental assault. And as a result of that, I couldn't write a word of this, what I saw as a momentous book, attempting not only to oppose ADL and their liberal agenda, but also to wake up the evangelical Christians that they really don't have a solemn biblical duty to stand by Israel, right or wrong, and uphold the injustices of Israel toward the Palestinians. Anyway, I got home, and these attacks continued every night of the week. Every night, my sleep was shattered, and I was just so beaten up by it. But then, suddenly, I lost all strength, and I couldn't even walk 500 feet without lying down. And this battering on me continued for 12 years, and I wasn't able to write my book. But around 1980, I believe that God gave me the strength. In 1983, I did put the book together, and it was published and became a bestseller in its genre. And at that time, I met a very beautiful young Christian conservative activist who also had some background in study of opposition to Zionism by the name of Lynn Dunham. We were married, and amazingly, the very afternoon, within hours, she had normal strength. She could walk 10 miles a day back and forth to work. She jogged, she played the piano, she worked full time, but immediately she became exhausted. And for the next 10 years, she also suffered comparable exhaustion to me. But around 2000, God both at the same time gave us strength to begin to take on ADL, take on their hate crimes agenda worldwide. We went up to Canada. We filmed hate laws making criminals of Christians. And that was followed by several more powerful major documentaries, Why the Mideast Bleeds and Unholy Alliance and so on. And then around 2005, 2003, my wife had a seizure in traffic and was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor in her forehead. And after the surgery, she was very weakened by that. But in 2005, I'm really getting now to the substance of this program tonight.
Okay.
In 2005, we were strolling in a quarry out here by Oregon City, out by Carver in the evening, and suddenly the heavens were filled with all kinds of flashing lights and streaking lights and searchlights, and Alain saw a huge black silhouette of a torso of a man filling the heavens off toward Portland. And I couldn't see a thing. I didn't know what was going on. I said in a recent article that reminded her of Van Gogh's Starry Night, just a turbulent, pinkish and reddish assault in the heavens. And
so was she seeing swirls in the sky?
Yeah,
and all
she
kinds
was seeing all kinds of stuff.
And you, just, when you were having your moments with the demons, were they tangible demons? Were they showing up and waking you up at night and pestering you?
After I came back from the cabin in the mountains, I experienced dozens of demonic attacks in which, on one occasion, I was awake in the darkness and I felt a physical body, like a cat, walking up the length of my body. And when it got to my chest and head area, it slammed me with huge vibrations and static and total paralysis.
So you felt as though there was electricity going through your body. Would you describe it as something like electric worm feeling of?
There was in these demonic attacks, there was always a loud noise of some kind. It was kind of like an electrical short, a very unpleasant vibration.
Something ripping through to you.
Or a loud, very loud sound, like a trumpet or something like that. Always a loud sound, but there was total paralysis. And in this paralysis state, I would feel like I was being sucked down into a different reality. I would cry out to the blood of Jesus to save me. And in a minute or so, I would come out. But it was very, very clearly demonic opposition to what I was doing.
Reverend Pike, we have to take a break. Very compelling so far. We want to hear from you again and hear more about your story and about your story with Alain. The number is to call tonight, 503-417-9595. That's 9KXL. Or 1-877-733-1011. Tonight, the Reverend Ted Pike is with us. We're talking with him about his work against the ADL and against the hate crime laws, and the story about he and his wife and the demonic persecution that he has now claimed has happened to him and his wife. And we'll tell you more about what happens to Alain coming up on Ground Zero. We'll be back with more. Keep it here. Don't go away. Tonight, the Honorable Reverend Ted Pike is with us tonight. And his story is a very compelling one. That's why we brought him on the program. And he's discussed with us earlier about what he does and what his mission is about. And he's a great artist. And he found his beautiful bride-to-be, or his bride, and he married her. And right after, before he married her, he said that he was having some attacks because he was going against the Israeli supremism, as they call it, where a lot of people are the Zionism. They say that, you know, that's the bad side of the force when it comes to Israel. And so a lot of Christians fight to inform people of this, and it seems that was Reverend Pike's mission. And he and his wife both worked together on videos and all kinds of things to get the word out. And then what had happened is you were talking about how she was seeing some strange things in the sky, some dark caricature in the sky, also some swirling vortices and things of that nature. What else happened?
Well, the stars began to dart around and wiggle, and colored lights appeared on the trees as we were driving home. Now, I could see none of this, but she was saying even in the car, lights, purple lights were appearing in the car. It seemed to be a massive invasion. I didn't know what to make of it, but in the years that followed, we had to adjust to literally thousands of supernatural sounds and visions and physical intrusions in our lives by these demonic forces. And I've written an article at truthtellers.org, our website, an 11-page article, which details all of this. But I'll just give you an overview. Of course, I know that there will be people out there who say, well, Alinda just had brain surgery a year or so earlier, and these were probably hallucinations. But what I point out in the article is that I was witness to a very great deal of this. She probably witnessed 95% of it, but the 5% that I witnessed was absolutely mind-boggling in its boldness and creativity, its malevolence toward us. And immediately she began, the demons began to communicate through her voice box. When we got home, she began to babble. Much like the glossolalia of the, I believe, of the modern Pentecostal movement, she was speaking in these unknown tongues daily, and she said she could feel the demons powerfully in her throat and her upper chest, as well as a constant chatter from the demons in her brain.
And what? And then we need to take a break quickly, and then we'll get more into what she was sensing and where they were coming from, these demons that you're speaking of. Tonight, Reverend Ted Pike is with us, and a great article that we have posted on the Ground Zero Facebook. You can take a look at that, and also an article that will be forthcoming on the Ground Zero site tonight called Unholy Alliance, The Demonic Attack of Alinda Pike, will be here just shortly, as Olaf posted on the website. In the chat room tonight, groundzeromedia.org, discussions going on there, and you can call us tonight at 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero, and we'll return.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero Radio on FM News 101 KXL.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in high places. So it's not too strange for me, but I could see how whenever she was attacked, it was always in correlation to Teddy's work and passage of the hate bill or other crucial legislation which we were fighting.
It was certainly a point in time where I had no doubt that there were absolutely no
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. Tonight, the Reverend Ted Pike is with us. We're talking about his experiences with the diabolical dark orders that are out there trying to bring him down. And of course, he made the claim on this program just earlier that as he was working on trying to fight the ADL's hate crime laws, he was being attacked by demons. And then when he met his wife, Alin, she too was also a victim of these vicious attacks. And on his website, at Truth Tellers, you can also hear the family testify about how this was going on in the home and how they were noticing how, as they call, Auntie Alin was acting and how she went from one extreme to another. Now, we've heard the story about her having a brain tumor. We've heard all this stuff. But, of course, Reverend Ted is saying that that wasn't a factor. Did you take her to a doctor and say, look, is this something that's going on with the head trauma, or what did the doctors have to say about this?
Well, the psychiatric profession is not particularly open to claims of demonic possession.
No.
They want to have a naturalistic cause and effect scenario that they can treat with psychiatric drugs. So that was not fruitful. She did take some psychiatric drugs, but and the efficacy of them was sometimes uneven because I was actually asked by one of the demons, he said, don't you know that we can neutralize Geodon, which is a major antipsychotic drug?
Yeah, you know, Geodon, I did some research on Geodon. Geodon is a play on words. It's actually down to earth. It's what it means. It means geo, like geography, and then don, meaning down.
Yeah,
So it, like, brings them back down to earth.
Sure.
But the problem with Geodon, and I don't know if you knew this, Geodon had some very, very horrible side effects, including heart palpitations, chest pain, even going super, you know, manic, and having them feel like that they're being held, or paralyzation, or whatever. Uh-huh. It has some very, very bad effects.
Yes.
Did you look into those as well?
Well, it's kind of a calculated risk. As I say later on in my article, she experienced a number of very severe demonic attacks, and almost predictably after these attacks, she would become manic. And we had no recourse but to give her the Geodon that our psychiatrist recommended. But sometimes it was like water. And as I just said, one of the demons spoke through her mouth to me and said, don't you think we can neutralize Geodon? That certainly was the case.
Yeah, and I also find it fascinating, Reverend, that you were able in the article, because of Alin speaking to you in tongues and in several different voices, you were talking about how the demon would speak through her voice box and how you would hear these roars and hisses and things of that nature. Another side effect of Geodon is lip smacking and also that feeling of just some really strange things going on. And she actually gave you the names of the demons, or the demons spoke to you in names. They gave names. What were some of the names that they were given?
There was the main demon that stayed there the longest was Pipka. And Pipka was, he in fact described himself as her personal demon. He was very, very jealous that we pronounce his name correctly, repeating very emphatically he wanted it pronounced that way. One time I mockingly called him Pitika, and he erupted in rage on Alin, screaming through her and throwing her around and causing all kinds of emotional disturbance. He was a very dominant force in our life, literally for about the great preponderance of this time. There were names like Itkitava, Shit, Contention, Yong, a Chinese demon, other names like that. There were quite a few of them. Actually, one time I verbally listed the demons' names, and there was a tremendous uproar of demonic opposition and violence against the Lin as those names were being uttered. They did not like that, although they were happy to give us their names. And they would always give us their names in the middle of an attack. We would say, what is your name? They'd be happy to give it.
Yeah, and I also understand, and once again, I always use this, and I find it fascinating. See, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I have a lot of training in the occult, and I have a lot of training in Christian scripture as well. And one of the things that I found very interesting is you make the claim that when you rebuke the demons in the name of Jesus Christ, what did they say to you?
Well, Pitka, who was the main demon, would always go into, oh no, oh no, oh no, shouting that way. But I began to kind of wonder whether that was kind of an act, because even though it did seem like we could bring the demons under control for a little while, maybe an hour or so, either by invoking the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, or by singing wonderful hymns. I would sing to her, and that would seem to help. But they would be back. In an hour or so, they'd be back babbling through tongues and causing her to manifest themselves through all kinds of phenomena. Very largely unpredictable, blood-curdling screams would come out of her. And I actually had to keep her down away from the public as much as possible, because these could be heard clear outside the house.
And those demons would mock you if you ever invoked Jesus. Is that correct? They'd mock you and say,
oh yeah,
thank you, Jesus, and la la la, Jesus, and Jesus, oh, save us, Jesus.
Yeah,
they were that mocking of Christ.
They were. There's a common comfort, I should say, in Christian circles that the name of Jesus, when it's invoked, or verses of Scripture that are put above door lintels and things like that, window openings, have a very, very intimidating effect upon the demons. We did not find that to be true.
Yeah, and you know what? That's interesting, because I've done a lot of, and this, I've gotten arguments with, and how can you argue with a reverend? I get in arguments all the time with a lot of people who are evangelicals, and I say, rebuking in the name of Christ doesn't always work. Because some of those demons don't even recognize Christ as a Savior, nor do they accept Christ as a way to flee. And
yeah.
People say, oh, no, you can cast out demons in his name. And I said, yeah, you can do that, but chances are, if you don't have the power and the authority to do so, or if they don't see you as anybody who has any power to do so, if they see you as somebody they can take over or at least beat around or whatever, they won't run away. They'll stay. And I even talked with a Roman Catholic priest about this, and he told me the same thing. He says that there have been priests who've been in exorcisms that you must declare that you are rebuking in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that identifies Jesus as the Savior and the intermediary in the exorcism.
Uh-huh. Well, there's questions of technique and there are questions of substance here. The substance is that I believe that Christ allowed these demons to oppose us. And actually, Lynn did ask Pitka at one time, she said, are you here to hit me so that I be a shield to protect Ted so he can continue to fight Jewish supremacism and injustices of Israel? And Pitka did say yes. And while the demons are very, very deceptive and manipulative, I believe that on that occasion he was probably telling the truth.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, but here's another thing, and you being a man of the Bible, I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about the promise to Abraham given to God? And I've talked about this many times. It's in Genesis. I don't exactly know the verse and the chapter, but he says that, I bless those who bless you and I curse those who curse you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that maybe that since you've been going after the Jews, that this has been a part of this, that maybe they've decided to use Kabbalah or something to get you to back off?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I guess that's a two-part question. Yes, I believe that this was perhaps the result of a Kabbalistic curse against us. And one of the reasons I have for that is that the demons very quickly started using two names in the midst of all this glossolalia gibberish that was going on. There were two names which were always very distinct, very separate. The first one was Baal Shem Tob. And they would say Baal Shem Toba, Baal Shem Toba. And they would say that maybe a dozen times a day. And Baal Shem Tob was the renowned Kabbalistic Hasidic or ultra-Orthodox rabbi of Poland in the mid-17th century, who was a conjurer and magical wonder worker, and really one of the major pillars in the foundation of the world revolutionary movement, as Kabbalah was used as a pretext to begin the erosion of Christian civilization, tearing down Christian civilization and governments of the West through masonry and infiltration of governments in order to bring about a Judaic world government. And Baal Shem Tob is a pillar of a patron saint, really, of modern ultra-Orthodox or Hasidic Judaism. And so my wife had never heard the name Baal Shem Tob, and here she was saying Baal Shem Tob. In fact, I mentioned in my article that many, many mornings, even while she was half awake, she would say, Baal Shem Tov, Teddy, in greeting to me. And also the demons would say Shabbatai. And Shabbatai means Shabbatai Zivai, which was the Jewish Messiah who in 1646 proclaimed himself Jewish Messiah. He was a Turkish Jew and Kabbalist. And it convulsed the whole Jewish world with the hopes that the Messiah had come. He was finally humiliated and ended his life in disgrace. But these are two to pioneers, to icons of Kabbalistic Judaism. Again, my wife had never heard the name Shabbatai, but here, somewhere out of the forces which were coming against us, they were invoking, they were using the name of two of the most esteemed and yet wicked pioneers of the modern Jewish world revolutionary
movement. I want to share with you an occult definition of Shabbatai, if I may. Knowing a little bit about the occult, Shabbatai is Hebrew for Saturn. It's the root word call of the Hebrew Shatain, which we all know is Satan. And what's troubling is if she used this name, she was literally using an old Hebrew word for the limitation or cessation of life, meaning wherever this is spoken, there will be death.
Oh,
and,
my.
And many times it's the idea of Kronos, Saturn, wanting to eat the souls of the children and all who are there.
Uh-huh.
And if we're to believe, you know, what you say about the Shabbatai, I know you talked about, the Shabbatai Levy or the so-called Messiah. Your wife was possessed by several demons that were being guided by a Saturnalian influence.
Uh-huh.
Aleister Crowley, who, of course, was the great beast or the black magician, he wrote in the Book of Thoth that Saturn is Set, Lord of the Egyptian deserts, and according to Crowley, Shabbatai, when pronounced, is the summoning of the adversary in an initiatory role. They were preparing her to summon Satan in your home.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I mentioned in my article that we noticed that they did seem to be, at least in the first few months, they did were trying to entice her into being fascinated with them and with their magical powers. For example, I mentioned in the article that one time we were out in the park and she went into a porta toilet. She was in there for 45 minutes and I got concerned and I knocked on the door. And here she was staring down inside of the toilet. And she said in the bottom there were in the glowing neon blue colors was the word love there. And she was trying to figure out if that had meaning to her.
So there was love there in all the waste.
Yeah, exactly.
I read that. It gave me a little bit of a sick stomach to think that she was looking at that. And maybe it was them trying to show you this is what love is. It's all crap. It's all dung. It's all what's piled up that's left over in the waste and the flies.
Yeah.
I just, when I read that, it kind of made me wonder because of the fact that what I knew about Aleister Crowley, what I knew about Shabbatai, what I knew about that word and what it meant and how it was the initiatory word to summon Satan and to bring death upon the family, which I worried when I read that, that you mentioned that word. We'll get back to you after the break, but still some very compelling things here to talk about with Reverend Ted Pike here on Ground Zero. Tonight we're discussing the attack, the demonic attack of his wife and the demonic attacks on him. And if you have any questions tonight, 503-417-9595, that's 9KXL, or 1-877-733-1011. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Reverend Ted Pike is my guest tonight on Ground Zero. A compelling story about the demonic attacks that he and his wife had sustained while he was doing his ministry. And what really gets me about this story is that I know a lot of people have been saying, and I know in the chat room they're talking about her brain tumor, the brain surgery, but the minute in the story where I read that she said the word Shabbatai, I know that word from reading Aleister Crowley. Okay, this is not coming from a guy. I mean, you know me. I am all across the board. Okay, you can think that Reverend Pike is kind of saying this because he's a conservative evangelical Christian. Well, let's talk about Aleister Crowley for a moment. Aleister Crowley was the great beast. Aleister Crowley was the demon of his day. He was a black magician, and he wrote in the Book of Thoth that Shabbatai is directly related to Set, Saturn, Satan, Shatain, all of those words. Now, why would we go to the trouble of saying things like Shabbatai? It's right up there with saying the words Jabulon and several other well-known key names that are used to address the great and horrible demon that exists. And I'm not saying Satan, okay? I'm saying other demons, and I've mentioned these other demons. And I've said before that there's no, it's not if or and, it's not Satan and God, it's many demons in the hierarchy that are there, that speak, that have been known to be written about in the Bible. And so what gets me is that, Reverend Pike, is that I hear you say, when you, the minute I read the word Shabbatai, I was going, wait, bingo, there's demons out there that are initiatory, that are trying to initiate her into that way.
Yeah. Well, they, in other ways, they tried to get her. She was very artistic. One time, on the blank wall of our bathroom, they made a tapestry, an intricate tapestry of leaves, just down to literally to the tendrils and the veins of the leaves. And she spent a couple hours in there with a felt pen marker tracing out that whole wall. And you could tell from the tapestry that she made that what she saw was very literal.
Right.
And then another time, she heard a beautiful tenor singing opera out of her grand piano, and I had a very strong feeling that they were enticing her to communicate with them, ask them for more favors of aesthetical pleasure and truth about music and art and beauty and things like that. But I recognized very quickly that she had a certain weakness for kind of being intrigued by this. She didn't have a broad background of suspicion in the occult, certainly not as much as I did. And I told her she must communicate and reciprocate with them as little as possible.
Right, exactly. We'll be back with more Reverend Pike. Reverend Pike, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, telling his story about demonic attacks. Him and his wife, some very compelling stuff tonight. You're hearing it first on Ground Zero. We're very happy to have him on the program. 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
Hello. You are about to experience Ground Zero, an unspeakable experience. Just when you thought you were safe.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Tonight, a very controversial topic. A lot of people talking about it in the chat room tonight. I'm sure a lot of you may have your ideas as to what's really going on. But what we have from Reverend Ted Pike is his story about his mission to fight hate laws and about how he feels that fighting those hate laws is part of some curse that was given to him, similar to the one you read about in the Bible where God says to Abraham, bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. He's been attacking the Jews, and he thinks that this is something that's coming back to him, but he's fighting, and his wife fought, and she also experienced health problems, a brain tumor that was benign, was removed, and, witnessing several things that were horrible for her and trying for him. The story is very tragic. If you read through the story on Truth Tellers, you will see that he went through a lot, she went through a lot, and it's anyone's guess. I mean, if you don't believe that she was possessed by demons, if you don't believe Reverend Pike's story about this, that's fine. I'm sure Reverend Pike has had to deal with a lot of, let me ask you, have you dealt with persecution with regard to this story?
Not at all. Actually, it was with great reservations that I released this story to the world. I had planned on never telling it because I do have an international audience of people who do read my articles at Truth Tellers and watch our videos, and I have influenced a lot of legislation in Congress, so I have a reputation for truthfulness and accuracy. I was not about to jeopardize that with a story of demonic possession. But when my wife was finally killed, I just simply could not let her body remain drifting down the Willamette River and into oblivion. I felt that truth has a way of vindicating itself, of standing on its own two legs and emerging triumphant. I felt that the world should know about this because I feel this is a wake-up call to the magnitude of the evil forces which are in array against freedom, against truth, against Christianity in these times.
I want to point out to you, Reverend Pike, that on December 6th, I remember being here in the newsroom when I heard the dispatcher on the police radio say that there's something peculiar happening on the Markham Bridge.
Yes.
It was about 5 in the afternoon, am I correct?
Yes, it was.
And what she did, apparently, is she parked the car on the lower deck there on Interstate 5, and then the dispatcher was actually saying what was happening, that a woman in her 50s actually got out of the car, no one knew what was going on, and then she jumped 130 feet off the lower deck of the Markham Bridge. Now, there was also a report that she left a note. Did she leave a note to you guys telling you what she was doing?
Yes, she has left a note, but we haven't seen that yet.
So the police have it?
The police have it. They're still hoping to find her body and wind up the case. And so they have told us that it's nothing that would be of comfort to us.
Really?
She was very much taken over, completely taken over by the demonic forces at that time, very much against her will. And, of course, I detail that in the end of my article.
Yeah, and I have, and I hope, is it okay if I play her goodbye on the answering machine?
Well, of course.
Okay, I have this. And I want to point something out to you, too, Ted, and I want to tell you something else about this call that struck me, and I want to let you know what it is after we listen to the call. What you're about to hear, this is Alin. This was her final goodbye to you?
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a goodbye at all.
Okay.
It was she was very full of life at that time. This is the final call I received on my phone message system from her, but it's in no way a suicide note or a suicide call.
No, it doesn't sound anything like a suicide call at all. That's why it really shook me up when I heard it, because
yeah. She's basically expressing optimism,
yes,
love toward me,
uh-huh,
for the future and so on. This was 24 hours, about 25 hours before she died, and is certainly not the call of somebody who is planning to depart from this world.
Or even sounds unstable. Listen
That's
to this
right.
call.
Hi, Teddy, it's me. I hope you're writing an article. You can save the world, Teddy. I just wanted you to know how much I love you, and that you are the very best husband in the whole world. And I just wanted to say that right now and let you know that I'm at the park, Willamette Park, enjoying the last of the leaves. The people at the group told me that I needed a vacation. So I came here, and I'm sitting in sunshine, and I love you so much, and thank you for all the truth that you've taught me, and I've been grateful for it so much, and grateful. I just wanted to let you know that I love you. Bye.
I want to point something out to you, Ted, and I don't know if you know anything about the paranormal or investigation or anything of that nature. Do you notice in the phone call when she's talking about her vacation, you hear clicks?
I didn't notice that.
Play a little bit of that again, where you're hearing that she's talking about, so they tell her that she should go on vacation. Her friends have told her she should be going on vacation. And if you listen carefully in the background, you hear clicking sounds. Listen to this again.
You can save the world, Teddy. I just wanted you to know how much I love you, and that you are the very best husband in the whole world. And I just wanted to say that right now and let you know that I'm at the park, Willamette Park, enjoying the last of the leaves. The people at the group told me that I needed a vacation.
Okay, that's go ahead. That's
yeah.
Fine.
Well,
those clicking noises, just so you know, I've had phone calls. I did a show two Halloweens ago, where we did an experimentation to try and contact people on the other side using a radio. And a young boy called us from Vancouver wanting to talk to his uncle. And he said that his uncle, he felt the presence of his uncle in the room. And all of a sudden, the phone started clicking. You heard a lot of clicks. It just kept clicking and clicking. And then our computers all shut down.
Mm.
And what happens is that these clicks, and you were mentioning in your article, too, that you heard a lot of clicking sounds in your home.
Yes.
These are called EVP clicks. What they are is they're the spiritual realm trying to make contact with us. They click. You can hear clicks before they speak.
Uh-huh.
And so I just heard that, and I was thinking to myself, I hear the paranormal clicking. I hear the clicking in the background as she's speaking. Mm. So somebody was trying to get through on the phone while she was speaking.
Mm. Well, when the demons came in, one of the very first manifestations was all kinds of garbled, distorted phone calls we began to receive. We would receive phone calls in which the phone would ring, and here would be a conversation going on, a fictitious conversation with accurate representation of voices of our relatives and friends saying things that weren't true. And clearly they were people we knew around their kitchen table and things like that. All kinds of bizarre things, every manner of telephonic, electronic distortions of video equipment and also telephones, both cell phones and landline phones. And the lights began to flash just days after they came in. Our car began to be lit up. All the lights in our car were flashing. The headlights, the taillights flashed for at least a half an hour. And again, there were very loud clicking sounds inside of the car for during that time. It was bristling with lights like the Queen Mary. It was totally a possessed vehicle for at least a half an hour. But the phone would ring all the time with strange messages, distorted messages, every kind of mysterious thing happening. We still receive quite a few phone calls like that.
Mm-hmm. It's EVP and ITC. It's electronic voice phenomena, and then ITC is instrument transcommunication, where it's alleged that the spirit world can contact us, and they're using it by means of electromagnetic frequencies. In fact, I work with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jonathan Burgess, who works with the Paranormal Ghost Recon, or the Northwest Paranormal Ghost Recon, and they have at many occasions when they've been in the homes that are haunted or homes that are having this kind of activity, they're able to create an artificial cloud or a cloud of electromagnetic energy using a Van de Graaff generator. They fill the room with it, and if the house has any kind of spiritual problems with it, or if there's any ghosts or anything, these beings, whatever they may be, ghosts, demons, whatever they are, will speak through a radio, or they'll speak through they'll speak onto a recorder.
Uh-huh.
And they can record the voices. It's an amazing phenomenon.
Well, my opinion is that rather than, and you may disagree with this, but rather than these things describing some kind of a preternatural reality, the whole thing is a charade. The whole thing is a world of illusion and distortion and deception by the demons, coming straight from the demons. I personally don't believe that souls that are departed are attempting to communicate with us and are actively being able to do that,
sure,
either to comfort us or warn us or anything like that. This was a major demonic attack, and in my opinion, it was very straightforward. The demons were doing everything they could to create a chaos and intimidation in our family.
Well, I'm illustrating this just to show you that you don't know this, because I, being a man who is a reverend and is an evangelical minister, would not dabble in the occult.
No.
But I'm telling you as a person who has, that this checks out completely.
Okay.
It checks out. This is how ghosts operate. This is how demons operate. This is how poltergeists operate as well. So, yes, looking over your story, I mean, if you want somebody to at least point out some of the occult things that do check out, the Shabbat eye, all that stuff, then, yes, your wife was possessed by something. And that's the thing, is that from your perspective, you feel it as a man of God. From my perspective, as a person who's not only had a background in theology, but also a background investigating in the occult, this checks out, and it checks out in a very, very frightening and harrowing way.
Yes.
Reverend Ted Pike is my guest tonight on Ground Zero. We'll be taking calls coming up, 503-417-9595, that's 9KXL, or 1-877-733-1011. If you have any questions for Reverend Pike, and we'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
Got an opinion? Call KXL now. 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011. Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
Tonight, Reverend Ted Pike is with us on Ground Zero. Very controversial guest, a very controversial claims, saying that he and his wife were attacked by demons. Demons appearing in his home. And what I find interesting, too, Reverend Pike, is there are other people living in your home, too, that witnessed this. Am I correct?
Well, not actually living in our home, but relatives, friends who commonly were very much aware of what was going on. On a number of occasions, they did, however, some of them witness actual demonic seizure of such magnitude that she became insane, actually had to be taken to a mental hospital, or under such major demonic attacks that she'd be barking and screaming and all kinds of manifestations like that. And they knew that that was very, very out of her character. We should point out that for much of the time, Lynn was very composed, very normal, functioning in our Bible studies and church activities and so on. But we could tell when the demons were coming on, there was often an intensification of obsessive repetition in her voice and so on. And sometimes these attacks were so violent, she would be thrown around the room. She would assume postures like a cat with raking with its claws, or crawl across the sofa like a snake, things like that kind of thing. Very, very violent possession by these demonic forces. And then sometimes when it was all over, she would remember nothing. One time she was taken over so powerfully that for a day and a half she raved with vocalizations of such a speed that I could not believe the human voice, the human mind would be capable of that kind of rapid fire cursing and speech. Yet, suddenly, after a day and a half, we had to wrap her up in a blanket and tie belts around her to keep her under control. But suddenly it broke, and she didn't remember a bit of it.
I have a question. I was reading also in the article that her facial expressions were changing.
Oh,
was her
very
face,
much so.
Was her face shifting into other contortions that you didn't recognize?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was a very distinctive feature, both in a mild way, I could tell when the demons were heavily upon her, or an extreme way. When she was extremely under attack, literally, I understand the face does have many, many dozens of muscles in it, and these muscles would be pulled in different directions, creating a mask. She was a very beautiful woman, but she became an ogre with her face so distorted.
So you didn't even recognize her?
You would hardly even recognize
her.
What
about the colors of her eyes? Did they change at all?
No, I never saw a change of a color of her eyes, although she did tell me a few times that my eyes were glowing either green or purple.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what she was seeing.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Now, I wanted to figure out, did she attempt suicide before?
No. Well, it's true. There were, as the demons were taking over her mind beginning around this September in repeated obsessions that she was too evil to live, and they were automatically writing through her hand lengthy suicide notes and things like that. She was out of her mind, but normally she was a rational person. But when the demonic activity intensified, it was revealed in her face. It was revealed in trembling. It was revealed in a fixed stare and an obsessiveness. And it kind of built up in a lot of yelling and vocalizations from the demons.
And you would say, I was also reading that in some cases people would say that they'd witness that she would be in a trance-like state. Am I correct?
Well, in the last hours, yes, that was certainly the case. As she headed for the Markham Bridge on the last hours of her life, several people who saw her said they, my sister-in-law said she didn't seem to even recognize her. A carpenter who was working here said she seemed to be in a trance-like state and looking right through him. She was clearly taken over. I do mention in my article that as these homicidal attacks increased toward the end, I was able, if I were able to intervene, to quickly dispel them.
Mm-hmm.
And she would express very great relief that she was not consummately evil and worthy to die. But when I would go to bed, when I would be out of the off the place, the demons would come in and take over her mind.
That's just unfortunate and very tragic. We're here with the Reverend Ted Pike here on Ground Zero. He's giving the account, putting his reputation on the line, giving his account that he and his wife were attacked by demons. He's been giving us a detailed account of what happened. Some of it checks out in the paranormal realms from where I stand. A lot of it, though, has to do with his word, whether or not you believe. 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Tonight, a very compelling and harrowing testimony from Reverend Ted Pike on Ground Zero about an attack of demons on he and his wife. There are also testimonies of some of the family members and friends of Lynn Pike as to what happened as well. You heard the phone call from his wife as well. And it's up to you as to what is going on and how you feel about what is happening. I'm sure there are a lot of strong arguments about what may be happening, what could be happening, but Ted says that he feels that he was demonically attacked for his stand, for what he believes, and he's holding up as best he can. You ever felt like you're Job, Ted?
Well, absolutely. In the story of Job, God Almighty actually enters into a wager with Satan. Satan says he can cause Job to crack if he's attacked, if his children are all killed, and so on. And God says, well, go at it, save his life. And Job emerges victorious, but it's important to realize that God allowed that. And there are some people who say, well, in fact, there was one website saying, well, if Reverend Pike did what he should have done, he would have taken authority over the demons, and he would have put them, cast them out, and so on. But Jesus said that this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And there seem to be hierarchies of demons that either come out easily or come out difficultly. And unfortunately, with Lynn, she was exorcised through death.
You know, and I find it unfortunate that a lot of people have this this all-or-nothing viewpoint on the spiritual warfare that is out there. They either believe that demons go if you compel them to go, ghosts go to the light when you tell them to. That doesn't happen. And I think people need to realize that it doesn't happen. Because
yeah.
It's like, you know, in spiritual warfare, you know, sometimes they have more ammunition than you give them credit for.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And Jesus is no atom bomb. In fact, Jesus says that you can also command the angels to intervene if you need. And believe me, there are a lot of people that will dispute that angels aren't powerful. They're very powerful in the realms of this type of pantheon. They're very powerful things, and it's all from the belief systems and faith that the people have in order to exercise or at least intervene with these beings, if that's
yes.
the case. If you believe in such things, and a lot of people stand back and go, well, I don't know if I believe in these things, yet they believe in a second coming, they believe in a rapture, they believe in all those other things, but they have a hard time with demons for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Let's go now to Tracy. Tracy, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I just would like to say I am so sorry for your loss. My heart goes out to you and your family. The demonic oppression that you were under, I really feel was coming from absolute witches, like witchcraft. I mean, complete witchcraft. These weren't just demons showing up. They were complete, done on purpose towards you.
Yes, they were. Thank you very much, Tracy.
Yes, absolutely. Now, do you still have these manifestations?
Well, I would like to say I didn't, but my bed continues, my bed continues to move and swerve around even today. It skewed around a bit. I'm afraid that the primary demon, Pitka, is still here.
So Pitka is still bothering you?
He's still around. I see his trademark signs, like some minor dematerializations a couple times since Lynn died. Also, he has always been pushing my chair around that I do my interviews in. and also skewing my bed around when I'm not in my bed. He seems to kind of see those as control centers, command centers of my life.
Do you fear for your safety? Because after all, the demons wanted at one time Alin to kill you.
I'm not worried about my safety. I believe that this whole thing was not just a fortuitous, arbitrary attack of a demons upon a couple. It was a concerted attempt to sabotage, hold me back, prevent me from continuing my ministry of warning the church and the nations about these great, great threats, particularly about ADL, hate laws threat, even the threat of Zionism and Jewish supremacism like ADL. But there was great spiritual power, I believe, generated by Alin in the fact that she was so willing to be deprived for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the truth and freedom. And I believe that God looks down at heaven and he sees unique people who put their lives on the line and they say, take me, Lord, I'm willing to pay the ultimate price for that truth might prevail. And he says, God says, I admire that person. I will unleash power against the demons in order that their wish may be fulfilled. And I believe that intercessory power of Alin for me and continued prayers of others will continues to prevail.
Yeah.
Tracy,
can I jump in here? Quiet?
Yeah, one more time.
I would like to say something. What happened to her is very prophetic of what is coming. What is coming is the spiritual manifestations of the demons upon this earth that people have not even seen or dealt with.
Yes.
And I am completely standing with you. I am going to pray for you.
Thank you.
My heart goes out to you. I understand the warfare you're in. When this happened, did you have other people praying for you? Did you have the prayer network? I understand
yes.
You have a reputation.
Yes, we did. On the other hand, being a national figure, particularly as a political activist and lobbyist and so on, I was not at liberty to tell the whole world that my wife and I were under demonic attack. This whole thing took place over more than 6 years, and every day of those 6 years, she was babbling and under screaming and under attack and so on, mixed in with normal human love and communication and Christian service and so on. But I was not at liberty to make myself vulnerable when my credibility was so valuable as an opponent to the federal hate crimes bill and against ADL. Deviltry on its own.
My prayer for you is that the prayer network that you run will rise up and pray against the spiritual warfare that's coming up against you personally now, because and a lot of other people that are going to be, we're all going into this fight. This is very prophetic to what we are looking at in our future. People will be driven to suicide. People will be hearing voices.
Yes,
people
they will.
Know,
We have children collapsing from heart attacks. Tracy, how's that for bizarre?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I believe that the reason I have gone public with this is because I do believe that the Lord wants to use this as a sign, something
absolutely.
To cause consternation and controversy and remind us of the fact that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against great and very powerful principalities and powers of the air that are working
absolutely.
To bring in Antichrist, bring in world government ruled by the synagogue of Satan, ruled by the prince of the power of the air, literally Satan incarnate. And we must be willing to sacrifice and pay a price for truth. Tragically, today the church says, well, we're going to avoid all controversy. We're going to avoid all the great moral issues of our time. There'll be no discussion of abortion, no discussion of homosexuality, no discussion against alcohol, no discussion against any of these things in the church because we want to keep everybody happy. And God looks down from the heaven and he says, I have contempt for that kind of flaccid, weak, lukewarm, milk-fed type of Christianity.
Right.
Jesus wants us to stand up and say, I am willing to put my life on the line in order that truth might prevail, that the gospel might go forth, that the Antichrist forces might be held back.
Tracy, thank you for your call. Thank you so much. Got to move on to other calls. Got a lot of people there. Dina, hi, you're on Ground Zero. Hello, Dina. Yes, go ahead. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. Thank you for sharing your story, Reverend Pike. I wondered, did you ever explore perhaps that your wife may have had schizophrenia? Because I know that a lot of times schizophrenia can present in the same way. Not to minimize your story or anything, but
the psychiatrist who dealt with her after the brain surgery never mentioned any symptoms of schizophrenia. There was bipolar tendencies, ADD tendencies, but never schizophrenia. But even if she had, I saw so many things on my own that could not have come even out of a troubled mind. Just let me give you a little example. Familiar and necessary objects were constantly disappearing in our house, and they would reappear a few hours later in places that we couldn't have missed them. And I give an example in my article about Alin's expensive prismatic eyeglasses were taken by the demons for 6 months. And then the day she finally brought home another pair for $600, there were the originals sitting on our sofa where we had sat innumerable times, mocking us, you see. Another time we were 7 miles from home, or she was, and her car keys were literally taken out of her hand. We had to go down and pick her up. And then a week later, even though we always keep our car keys out of the car and down in our house, there were the missing car keys in the ignition of the car. They were constantly materializing and dematerializing things before my eyes. In fact, my crucial papers, my articles, my research was almost predictably being stolen by the demons as I would be preparing them for major release to the world.
Okay. I just wonder because it occurred. I've been around schizophrenia before, schizophrenics. And they just—it struck me that they exhibited some of the same behavior,
right.
And I
That's
even
right.
knew one
yes.
who did things would kind of disappear.
Sure.
When they'd be on their medication, one of them told me that he had hid something. So it just occurred to me it was
it's a very, very legitimate objection. I welcome that objection, but the thing is, this was not done in a. Alone. This was not her subjective opinions
yeah.
or whatever. I was there as a corroborating eyewitness to a very great deal of very, very strange activity.
All right. I thank you,
right.
Gina, for your call.
Thank you. I'm
you
sorry
bet.
For your loss.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's now go to Roger. Hi, Roger. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Glad. How you doing? Reverend Pike. Sorry for your loss. This is Roger Clinton with the Northwest Coast Recon. Clyde was mentioning earlier. I was just wondering, Reverend Pike, do you have any of these electronic voice phenomena that you were getting over your phone, or did you happen to be able to record any of these?
We made a point out of ignoring the demons as much as possible. We did not feel at all inclined to become Ghostbusters or try to document any of this. I should say investigators of paranormal phenomena. This was a fight for her life. We were not going to dignify any of their activities by gathering around and bringing in a tape recorder or even a video recorder of her babbling, anything like that. So this may disappoint the researchers, but we left virtually no record except, as you heard tonight, some of her last words to me in our last telephone conversation.
So you and I both, I know that you want the world to know that to believe in God, and you want the world to know that this stuff is real. So, it's sad to say that people these days, they don't take anything on anybody's word anymore. You know, they need hard proof, and they want to be shown that this is real. This is how ignorant people are these days. But it's too bad you didn't get any of that stuff recorded so people could hear reality, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, I think about all we would be able to hear if I recorded it was some crazy woman babbling in incoherent language, and that would be even more perhaps damaging to her reputation.
You know what else is ironic, Roger, is that when I did the exorcism of Annalise, the German girl, I got a lot of mail saying that I was exploiting that, and there was no reason for me to play her screaming and play her being in the exorcism.
Yeah.
So either way, if I would have played anything that Alin had screamed out, any horrible words she would have screamed out or anything, it would just go back to us being exploitive of a woman's
sure.
death, which is, you know,
right.
it's a catch-22. Either we have to demonstrate that she was possessed by a demon, or we can go by the word of a man who is a well-known reverend, a well-known activist, a well-known lobbyist, very well-known on several talk shows. Some are more national than mine are. So,
yeah, and it's just a sad deal because it's a catch-22.
It is.
Humanity. You
you're
know,
damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
To understand.
That's true. Roger, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. It's true. When I did the Annalise Michelle show, I got a lot of flack for playing her screams. A lot of people telling me that they felt it was wrong. I felt that I wanted to demonstrate what that sounded like. A lot of people were moved by it. Some people were offended. And now, like Roger says, we need to have recordings to prove it. Not necessarily. If you believe the reputation of this man, you don't need that either. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Weeknights at 9. Only on KXL. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
I think I have to contend that I do believe, and I have in my experience, encountered stories and accounts of demons, accounts of paranormal activity that is not similar or typical to anything that you see on television, that you see in the movies. This is not paranormal activity. This is not The Devil Inside. This is Devil Inside, by the way, the number one movie at the box office. And probably, from what I understand, one of the worst movies ever made. But the thing is that a lot of this is not titillating. A lot of this is real. A lot of this is manifestation. A lot of this comes from within us. A lot of it is projected. We've talked about tulpas, thought forms, things of that nature. When you're in the battle, you got to have the armor. When you're in the battle, you got to know what's up against you. And as Reverend Pike has said, you know, powers and principalities, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places, that's all a part of the game. And anyone who can tell you that there is no dark force out there has not either accepted it or they want to gloss it and say that we will not come in contact with these types of beings. They are there, and many of them are not necessarily forged on this planet. Many of them are what we call alien. Many of them are what we call foreign. Many of them are, as Reverend Pike said, they are part of the fortresses. They are part of the Lords of the Air. They are part of another warlike group. And we've been told in countless mythologies that this is going to happen. We've been told all these things, and then when they're presented to us, these stories that are unbelievable, as I said, are going to happen in 2012, when they're presented, people then step back and think, do I really believe this? Do I really, really want to believe this? And as Roger pointed out, where's the proof? Where's the voices? Where's this? And Reverend Pike says, why should we exploit this? And I say, yeah, and maybe not, or maybe so. But, you know, sometimes we just got to go with our gut. We got to go with what we hear and wonder and ask questions and try to evaluate the truth. Sometimes the truth is not enough because sometimes the truth can fool you. So if you have any questions tonight of Reverend Pike, he'll be on for another hour. 503-417-9595. That's 9KXL or 1-877-733-1011. Think about Reverend Pike's reputation. Why would he all of a sudden, he's been on several talk shows all across the country, national talk shows. He's also been a part of working to bring about changes in hate laws. He's well known, and all of a sudden he says, oh, by the way, my wife, she committed suicide, and I want to tell you, we've been persecuted and attacked by demons. 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. It's a compelling story, and we'll be back with more. Don't go away. This is Ground Zero on FM News 101 KXL.
Some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy. Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. Five.
Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There
two,
is
hope.
One.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Today we have Reverend Ted Pike with us on the program. Pike is a traditional Christian and is very outspoken regarding the ADL's hate crime laws and hate crime laws made on behalf of homosexuals. He has been labeled intolerant and an anti-Semite by the ADL. Since 1971, Reverend Pike has been speaking of what he calls an unholy alliance the Christian Church in Israel are having. According to his writings, he was studying Talmudic Judaism and its relationship with the Christian faith and set off to a cabin to begin writing his beliefs, and that is when he started getting attacked by demons. He then married his wife, Alin, and then she was also victim to the attack. And we're very sorry to say that on December 6th, at about 5 p.m., I was in the studio when it happened. They were talking about someone who had jumped off the Markham Bridge, about 130 feet, into the icy waters of the Willamette River. And there, she is believed to have passed away. They haven't found her body yet, have they, Reverend?
No, they have not.
And do they expect to find the body, or do you think that this is not going to be something?
I have no opinion on that. The water is very cold, and I think she may have a burial in the Willamette River. She always loved the water, and she could have had a worse fate than that.
Yeah. And you were, what, sleeping at the time this happened?
Yes, I was. I was actually the day she died, she was feeling very good. She was bright. She renewed her health insurance. She made a long grocery list. She was going to go to town. She was going to have a swimming class the next day. She was feeling bright. In fact, I told her it's unbelievable that she could even have been in the mental hospital or to have had a suicide attempt. She had previously thrown herself into the Clackamas River and gone to the hospital under the same demonic compulsion to kill herself for the good of our church and to rid the evil from the midst of our group, which was a total fabrication from the demons. But she was feeling very good, very optimistic, and as you noticed in that telephone message, her last telephone message to me, she was full of love and basking in the evening light and optimistic. But just before I went down for my nap, I'd been up since 3 in the morning, I did notice that she was trembling. She was staring fixedly forward, but she exhibited so many of these kinds of strange behaviors that I just had to commit her to God and go to bed. And soon after, she went out in the driveway, and her sister-in-law said she didn't seem to even recognize the sister-in-law. A carpenter said she was gazing through him, very much seemingly in a trance. But she did ask about bridges in Portland to the carpenter, and then went and evidently did the deed.
Yeah, and that's very unfortunate. And like I said, I mean, it was one of those things that when I read your story, I remember that day when we heard about her jumping, and it was here in the newsroom. We heard the dispatch talk about it, and we heard that it backed up traffic. And it was a very, very, it was a very curious day for sure as to why someone would go to that trouble to do it in the middle of rush hour and commit suicide as she did.
Yes.
It's just very, and in fact, to me, I mean, you know, she was actually at Willamette Park when she called, and I would think that why didn't she just do it at Willamette Park or whatever? I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, it reminds me of a video I once saw of two people who they believed that were possessed, that were running in front of traffic in England trying to kill themselves, and then once they were hit, they would get up again and throw themselves into traffic. So it just seems a little peculiar for me, and I'm sure very hard for you. And I'm going to go now to, let's see, Doug. Doug, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, gentlemen. Ted, you know, you're such a national figure exposing the ADL, Zionism, Israel. You must know that you are a target for Israeli intelligence Mossad. People that don't know about Mossad, if you look into the history of them, you'll see that they are famous for killing people in many inventive ways they invent. Poisoning is one of them. Mm-hmm. Have you considered the fact that you and your wife have been targets of Mossad, possibly being poisoned by them?
Well,
and you today as well.
No, I'm not that conspiratorial. I think the scenario that I presented with us actually having the demons using the names, names of invocation, as Clyde has pointed out, that are inherent in the word Shabbatai, but also Baal Shem Tov, which is a very famous, he is the founder of Hasidic Kabbalistic Judaism, and out of Baal Shem Tov and Polish Kabbalism came the Jewish wonder workers that went into the French Revolution and Masonry and led to the systematic subversion of Western civilization. He was a pivotal figure. My wife never heard of Baal Shem Tov, and here Baal Shem Tov is being pronounced to me in greeting in the mornings and so on. This obviously came from somewhere deep within the synagogue of Satan, within the vile centers of secular evil Judaism in the world. Let me just make a point right here that I think is very important. When I'm talking about my opposition to secular or this Judaism that is antichrist, that is anti-freedom, I'm not talking about being opposed to average Jews, to even to Orthodox Jews, or Jews who are doing the best they can, suburban Jews in America, Jews who have been assimilated into our society. I'm not talking about people like that. I'm talking about a small minority that has to do with ADL, B'nai B'rith, who are absolutely dead set on trashing all aspects of Christian civilization, Christian progress, Christian symbols, Christian venerated symbols such as crosses and manger scenes and all those things that have to do with our traditional Christian values and culture. ADL shows itself the enemy of freedom, the enemy of Christianity. And I believe it is out of that matrix of evil that these curses are coming. Certainly I have been a real thorn in the side of ADL now for, 30 years, 25 years. I've been the primary antagonist to ADL, playing the dominant role in helping defeat their federal hate bill no less than 4 times over the last 11 years. And for that reason, I am a primary target of great forces of evil, antichrist evil, that are involved in Jewish supremacism.
Sure, Ted, and I wasn't doubting what you're saying, and you're speaking of what Jesus actually is. It says in John chapter 8:44, and people can look that up for themselves, where he tells the Jews, the Pharisees, if you will, that their father is the devil.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, what you just said there in your last couple sentences, what you have been doing has been effective. ADL is also financed by Mossad. Mossad is one of the most ruthless, and let me ask you this. Would you consider the fact that Mossad would use Kabbalah on you? I mean, I know you said conspiracy. We are talking about a conspiracy against Jesus and Christians.
There are all kinds of stories in the literature and the lore of Kabbalistic Judaism. Modern or rabbinic Judaism is divided into two great centers of authority. Number one, you have the Babylonian Talmud, which is venerated by Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews. But you also have the Zohar, or the Kabbalah, which is the mystical and revolutionary center of authority of modern Judaism. And there are many, many tales and stories and legends about the magical powers of the Kabbalistic rabbis to invoke curses out of the Kabbalah and on the authority and power of the Tetragrammaton, or the sacred name of God, against those who come against Israel. And, of course, I do not come against the Jewish people. I do, like John the Baptist and the Hebrew prophets and Jesus Christ himself, come against evil Jewish leadership, which, like the ancient Pharisees, is dedicated to leading the Jews into darkness and apostasy and ultimately into persecution. I'm against them. And in opposing ADL, I am opposing a great force which is bringing tarring the name of Jews and besmirching the name of Judaism, and actually encouraging, ADL is actually encouraging anti-Semitism and persecution of Jews by passing hate laws and being so pro-homosexual and pro-abortion, pro-pornography, anti-Christian, all these ways. So I'm actually helping the Jews. I'm helping the Jewish people escape persecution by criticizing the evil Jewish leaders that are leading them into hatred and animosity from the nations. And therefore, I am not anti-Semitic. I, like St. Paul, I can say, brethren, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved. And just as the ancient Hebrew prophets were not anti-Semitic by criticizing evil Jews and Jews in their sins, they did so out of love to lead the Jewish people to Jesus, to Yeshua, their true Messiah, and escape an eternity in hell.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Ted. I mean, the covenant, and Christians should know this now. Unfortunately, they don't receive that education in private schools or even in most of the churches today. But the covenant is open to all, Jew and Gentile alike. And I understand what you're saying. The first covenant was destroyed when the temple, when the curtain was torn from top to bottom. And after Christ came, you know the whole story that I'm trying to say here. And if people understand that. But when you look at the enemy that you're fighting, and yes, it is spiritual, because what is the enemy of Jesus, or the enemy of the devil, rather, is truth. Jesus is the truth. Mossad is a very powerful group, Ted. Now, I'm just mentioning that. I hope you take some time and research some of the tactics that they use.
Well, Doug,
sound very similar to what you're doing, and I wish you luck.
Thank you for your call. Let's go down to David quickly. David, hi. You're on Ground Zero.
Reverend Pike, I'm sorry to hear of your loss of your wife. What if organizations like John Hagee Ministries, have they been against what you're doing?
Well, I have been very much a critic of Pastor Hagee because he does forbid the use of the name of Jesus in his Christians United for Israel conferences around the country. He will not allow people attending there to either pray in Jesus' name or witness to Jews or use the name of Jesus publicly. This is apostasy. This is heresy. And I have criticized him. I've criticized him for his boast of receiving more ADL or B'nai B'rith awards than any other Christian leader in the country. He's in bed with the Antichrist, with the great harlot Israel. And I've criticized him. The tactic of these national leaders that I am forced to reprove is to give me the silent treatment. And so he, of course, doesn't respond to me. But on the other hand, many, many people, I believe, are seeing the truth coming to the light that Hagee, in forbidding the name of Jesus and in influencing Christian pilgrims to Palestine to not witness in Palestine to Jews either, is really not doing the work, the true work of Jesus.
Very interesting. One last thing, Clyde, I wanted to tell Reverend Pike, take some time to grieve. I don't know if you have, and that concerns me a little bit hearing you talk tonight. I've listened to Clyde's whole program. Take some time to grieve, really, and heal, okay?
Yeah, but on the other hand, I was pointing out in this article, which people can read either on your website or at truthtellers.org, the time is short. Lynn is in glory. She is shining like the stars of the heavens, like the sun in the heavens, according to Scripture. She is united with her beloved wife. She is free from pain. She is free from the demons. She's freedom from depression. And I was a bachelor for 38 years of my life. I like to cook. I'm just fine. I will meet her again, and we have solemnly promised that we will be with each other for all of eternity. She did her role. She did not commit suicide. She was assassinated. She was martyred for the cross of Jesus Christ.
Who killed her, David? I mean, who killed her, Reverend Pike?
Yeah, she didn't kill herself. She was a robot.
Who killed her?
Yes, it was Pitka, it was the Satans, but it was the permission of the Lord to let them through that hedge of protection as with Job. And I am content in that. The Lord does all things well. Even now, the story of her death is being read by tens of thousands of people, and they're being given a wake-up call. I believe that she was a sign to the nations, a sign to the church, to gird ourselves. We are farther into the last days than we realized into the age of Antichrist. We must turn to the Lord, fasting and prayer and intercession for his deliverance.
David, thank you for your call. And we'll have more with Reverend Pike coming up on Ground Zero. If you have any questions for Reverend Pike tonight, please call in 503-417-9595. That's 9KXL. 1-877-733-1011. Very controversial tonight. A man with a reputation like Reverend Pike's now saying that he was under attack by demons and his wife was murdered by Satan. Back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Just a little bit of some questions, Reverend Pike, before we have to go to the bottom of our news. What are you doing now to protect yourself from these attacks? Are you going to get some extra protection? Because it seems now that the attacks are still coming, and what's going to protect you or save you from receiving the same fate as Alin?
Well, I just simply trust in Jesus. Jesus was in Alin's heart. She trusted him. That's basically the very best protection, which is basically protection of soul. Jesus never promised that we would be protected physically in this world from demonic assault. In fact, he said, in this world you shall have tribulation. So I'm not wearing a crucifix around my head, my neck. I have Jesus written on my heart and in my mind and in my soul. And I know that nothing shall separate me, no created thing, that is, shall separate me from the love of Jesus. That's the best I can do. Meanwhile, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to continue to write e-alerts, crucial pieces of writing and video and so on, redeeming the time, working with the Holy Spirit to resist the appearance of Antichrist.
Now, you just wrote an article, but was it about the ADL or was it about Farah or any of those people?
No, I just wrote an article which was posted today in which I point out that we can be kind of seduced by these demons into becoming spectators of their various parlor tricks, their sideshow antics and so on. And what we should really be doing is asking the deep questions, the teleological questions having to do with origins, saying, where did these demons come from? And the great systems of religions, such as the Eastern religions, the great systems of philosophy, cannot explain that. Only the Bible can explain that. When we go to Ezekiel, we go to Isaiah, we find a perfect and accurate descriptions of how the Satan, the great cherub that covereth, the preeminent angel of heaven, revolted against God at some primordial time in history, and God threw him out with an estimated a third of the angelic forces, which are now these miserable demons dedicated to taking as many as us with them to hell as possible. That's the very simple, logical, concise explanation of where demons came from. We should go to the Bible, and having gone to the Bible, we are led to the fact that Jesus is the ultimate creator of all these things. And rather than spending our time overtly consumed with paranormal observations and speculations,
right,
we need to get down on our knees and get straight with Jesus.
We'll pick up after the news. Reverend Pike is with us. Ted Pike is with us tonight on Ground Zero. You can call in at 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. We'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Number to call tonight, 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. Tonight, my guest, Reverend Ted Pike. Tonight, speaking of tragedy in his life, the attack, demonic attack on him and his wife. His wife committed suicide, jumped off the Markham Bridge, which is a tragedy. And we were talking about that and a lot of calls wanting to talk with you, Reverend. So we're going to go to the calls now. Let's go to Susan. Hi, Susan. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. And hello, Reverend.
Yes, hello, Susan.
I'd like to offer my condolences to you first, even though I know in your heart you know that your wife is with God.
Yes,
I know
you
know that. Now, I have to say that I'm not on completely the same page, but I want us to find some common ground where you can explain to us, where is the love? Where is the omnipresent love of God in this? I feel that's very important. And, I have a great deal of difficulty with the spirit of division, which to me, spiritual warfare, all of that is tied up in that. And, you know, where is the omnipresent love? And you know, I speak as someone who's actually encountered some of the things you're talking about, which is really interesting. And what delivered me was love. Mm-hmm. In fact, loving whatever it was what delivered me, and trusting in that love, because I encountered it. I encountered the paralysis. This was many years ago. And I don't know how many other people have done this, because I think it's common to be fearful. It's common to be combative. But where is loving whatever you perceive as your enemies?
Well, the basic reality, the ground zero reality about demons is that they are implacably hateful creatures. They have sinned away their time of grace. They sinned against the greatest possible light. They have no possibility now for repentance. They are absolutely obsessed day and night for millennia. They have been to take as many of us to hell with them as possible. Now, I am a great advocate of the love of God and the great advocate of the love of us toward our fellow human beings, even to the point of denying ourselves, self-sacrificing love. But when it comes to demons, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And it's necessary for the Christian, especially the Christian intercessor, the Christian warrior, to gird himself to do extremely visceral, almost hand-to-hand combat with these great forces that are coming against Christian civilization today. That is not hateful. That is not uncharitable. We must implacably fight against demonic forces which are intent on creating universal persecution and misery of not only Christians but of the whole world. And that's why we join with the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of love of God, to resist the appearance of Antichrist in our time. And that Antichrist, as I say, comes out of this perverse Jewish supremacism and even the mistreatment of Israel against the Palestinians, all these kinds of things, comes from a spirit of hastening and bringing about a new world order dedicated to the persecution and the creation of massive death and misery to Christians and the end of Christian civilization. And so it's answering your question is a little bit like talking to soldiers going out to fight their enemy, to fight the Japanese, saying, why don't you go out there and show peace symbols and blow kisses toward the Japanese bazookas? No, there's a time for warfare. There's a time for warfare and to defeat the Japanese. And then, as MacArthur did after the war, there's a time for reconciliation and so showing Christian love to the Japanese people and rebuilding their nation. But as Solomon says, there's a time and a season, a time to love, and there is a time to hate. And now is a time which, regarding demons, we are to dedicate ourselves and gird ourselves to as much spiritual opposition as we can muster.
Now, I have to say that I sympathize more with the Quaker path. In fact, I'm not a Quaker, although I went to a Quaker church for a while. I don't see things the same way. And I appreciate that you do, and I have to say that I was raised that way to some extent. We didn't embrace all the things that you're talking about. There are things that you are saying that I know people take issue with, and I take issue with some of them, but I don't want to get into that. I guess for me, the hard part of this, and I am a person who has had honest and sincere questions, partially because of what I went through. I mean, I really did confront some pretty challenging things many years ago, and these were on a spiritual level, and that's why I really sympathize with this story of your wife, although I don't know all that was going on with her. I know she had a lot going on with her, but I do think that when there are a lot of fears around you, when you're hearing about demons a lot, it tends to feed that. And if you're already vulnerable, I mean, that is what I'm seeing.
Well, you know, the very greatest Quaker of all times was George Fox, who founded the Quakers in the mid-17th century. And George Fox had some remarkable similarities to what Lynn and I have gone through. He was on his horse, and a great weight and a great weakness came upon him. And for an entire winter, he became deaf, he became blind, he became extremely weak in intercession. And he said, his testimony was, that he spent that winter warring against the principalities and powers that were attempting to lead England into ruin and into apostasy and in disaster, especially under the Puritans and Cromwell and so on. He was thrown in jail many times by the Puritans, who should have been co-religionists with him. He was a spiritual warrior. He was a fighter. He is no other Quaker mixed love and pacifism and turning the other cheek with militant opposition to satanic inroads. And he laid the foundation for the holiness message and the following Methodists. The Methodists and John Wesley owed to him laying the keel for a pietist tradition in England, which actually came over to the United States and deeply influenced the United States. And so, yes, we will love our enemies as ourselves. We will turn the cheeks. We will do good to those who persecute us. But when it comes to demons, it is outright warfare. We have to be unalterably opposed to them in every way we can by faith.
Susan, I got to run. I thank you for the call.
Take care.
Bye-bye. We now go to Sharon. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on Ground Zero.
Clyde, how are you?
Good.
And good evening, Pastor Pike. I can't even imagine what you must be going through, but in a way I can because I have this in my own family. I want to tell you that I did read your Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma.
Good.
And it was, it's an amazing book. I've read it several times. Very informative, very interesting. I am not a doctor, but we have your wife's experience sounds like an experience that we've had in our family. And I hope that you would consider another possibility, other than, you know, demon possession. It's possible, but, it sounds as if she may have had, honestly, you know, like bipolar disorder, maybe followed by a total sort of psychotic break from reality. And that should not be taken as any sort of, you know, a terrible thing, because there is mental illness. And it wouldn't be wrong or bad for her to be mentally ill. We have mental illness all through.
Yes, of course not.
And if she were being treated by a psychiatrist and she was taking antipsychotic drugs and she were taking, you know, lithium or different drugs that they give people on an ongoing basis to control this, then she may not have, I mean, this is what people do when they are not being treated.
But Sharon, what you have to do, what I would recommend to you and all of the legitimate skeptics out there, and I appreciate the skepticism, is you must read my 11-page article. It's at truthtellers.org, and there you will find so many anecdotes of in which I personally have seen the dematerializations and the materializations right before my eyes. For example, I have in front of me a paragraph in which I say, my wife told me to go to her purse, her carrying bag or whatever, and get a cosmetic out of the compartment on the side of the purse. I went and I looked in the purse, and the sides of the purse were perfectly smooth. It was smooth vinyl, smooth plastic. I rubbed my hands over the side of the purse. There was no compartment with cosmetics in it. And I said, honey, there is no compartment here. She says, of course there's a compartment there. It has all my cosmetics. She came over, and to her astonishment, the compartment section was gone, absolutely gone. And she knew the interior of her purse better than any human being. She came back 2 hours later. I came back. She called me. She said, here, my compartment is here with all of my cosmetics. I looked down there in that bag, and there it was. We saw that again and again and again, these dematerializations. Now, that is totally unrelated to any possibility of schizophrenia, bipolar, or anything like that. That is a manifestation of preternatural power to reorganize matter in a way that is far beyond our systems of physics.
Well, I would just ask you to consider this. When Catholic priests perform exorcisms, you can go to Father Malachi Moore, who was the person they made the movie The Exorcist about. He was an exorcist for many, many years. The victim who's going to be exorcised must be seen by a psychiatrist first to make sure that there is no mental illness, sir. And the Catholic priest, the exorcist, will not perform the exorcism until the psychiatrist has signed off. So I really, really feel for what you're going through. I don't want to say any more, but I just would ask you to consider that there is mental illness. There's no stigma to it. There's nothing.
Yes.
A lot of people have it, and you shouldn't be ashamed if she did have it. But people who have mental illness commit suicide all the time. And it's not your fault. It's not, you know, that God was not there for you. It's a matter of brain chemistry.
Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For the call.
And good luck
Bye-bye.
To you.
That frees up a line at 503-417-9595. And the other number is 1-877-733-1011. Reverend Ted Pike is with us tonight on Ground Zero. We're talking about his experiences. We're talking about his attacks, some of the things that he's behind, some of the things he's outspoken on. And if you have any comments, final comments coming up, we want to hear from you. 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
All right, we're up against the clock now on Ground Zero. We'd like to get to all the calls that are waiting in line, so please get to your point and ask questions directly to Reverend Ted Pike tonight on Ground Zero. We go now to Mojo. Mojo, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, thanks for taking my call. I know we're up against the wire, so I'm going to try to get it down in three. Great show tonight, Reverend Ted. I really feel for what you went through. I have personal experience and all kinds of different stuff. You just got to get to know me. Clyde, on a quick note, give me a call. 9-10 looks to you.
Just see me on Facebook, please. Just get right to the point.
No problem. You got it. Great show. Great show. First of all, I grew up and came back to the town called Newburgh, Oregon, where George Fox University is right here. So I just came. It was even more exciting toward the end of the show.
Okay, so what's your question?
Well, my question is, first of all, did you say teleological or teleological?
Yeah, that's a philosophical term for having to do with beginnings and ends, teleological.
Well, there's celestial, and I know celestial, terrestrial, and celestial.
No, teleological. It's from the Greek word telos, which means end.
Oh,
or
like television, like telos.
No.
Yeah. it's from telos.
Yes, telos.
Telos. Okay. So just needed to ask that. Holy smoke and mirrors, you guys. This was an awesome show. I'm sorry, but if anyone has any questions about you and your wife and all that, I just think that you're an awesome guy. I think that if somebody has a tumor in their brain pressing against certain centers, it cuts off things, allows demons to come in. They're jealous. I agree with the fact that one-third of them elected not to take body. There's a lot of amazing stuff out there. I couldn't hope to even give you guys enough kudos for the show that you did tonight.
I appreciate that, Mojo.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you so much. Have a great night. Let's go to T now. T, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Reverend Pike. That certainly sounds like the ordeal that you and your wife went through recently. However, I was wondering, are you concerned about the current whereabouts of your wife's body, or if she indeed is possibly alive, or if there is even possibly an ongoing investigation?
Well, there is an ongoing investigation, but I have no way of knowing when that might be resolved. What I do know is resolved that is that she is in glory now, in transcendent peace and joy and happiness, and I keenly anticipate being with her. And that hope, that optimism, not only in seeing her but seeing the Lord Jesus, irradiates my life with joy and purpose, and I'm full of fight to continue the fight for freedom.
Thank you, T, for your call.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And Reverend Pike, just wanted to thank you for coming on this program. I'm sure, I don't know how many times you've told this story. I know you've written about it many times, and I don't know about you, but when I heard your wife on the phone saying all the things that she said to you, it reminded me of my fiance and how much I love her.
Yes.
And I don't know how I'd feel. In fact, thinking about it right now makes me choke up if I ever heard of her doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And being gone. And so I hope that you find peace, and I hope you find happiness and joy in your life. And I know you've lost your partner, but I'm sure from what I hear, you feel that she's done something good for you, and I'm glad that you have that, because either way, I'd miss her. I'd miss Janine if she was gone.
Yes, I do miss her, but true Christianity transcends. We do not sorrow as others sorrow, because we have this vivid realization that this life is just a moment, a blip of time in our trajectory through eternity, and someday I will be with her, and we will be in glory together, and even coming back to earth during the millennium with Jesus Christ.
Quickly, where do we see the mother and child? Where do we see the family sculptures?
Well, I'm hoping to get those cast before long, and actually, we're making a website, a TedPikeArt.website, in the construction right now.
And remarkable stuff. Thank you, Reverend Pike, for being on the program.
Thank you, Clyde.
Good night. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll see you tomorrow night on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.